The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. This text occurs just after Jesus already rose from the dead. He already made his appearance to Mary. The angels have already proclaimed, "You are looking for the living among the dead." And you remember what the angel said? "He is not here." Why would the living be among the dead? Jesus is risen. Now go and tell your friends, tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. And so the women went off as the first gospel proclaimers went off to tell the rest of the disciples. And now this is now a day later. And we start the story walking outside Jerusalem. And this is the scene that Luke captures for us. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles outside Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had just happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they did not recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intensely as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, he said, Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what has happened these last few days?" Jesus said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. And then our high priests and our leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since this has happened, but now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check it out and found it empty, just like the women said, but they couldn't see Jesus." And then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets have said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer, and only then enter his glory?" And then Jesus started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed, and he acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went with them. And here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And at that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then Jesus disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel a fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened the scriptures for us?" They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered there, talking away. "It's really happened. The Master, Jesus, has been raised up. Simon Peter saw him." And then the two went over everything that happened on the road and how they recognized Jesus. when he broke bread with them. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Dear God, thank you for inviting us to this special place. Thank you for the beauty of this morning. And thank you for inviting us to participate in another glorious day. And thank you for the special message that not only rings true today, but every day, that you are risen. Invite us now to consider Jesus, that we too might recognize him. Amen. Are you the only one that doesn't know what's been going on these last days? How many times have you been asked that question? Totally out of the loop. Don't remember a birthday. Can't remember an event that happened a week or two before. And so the conversation goes, don't you know what's going on? And you go like, well, oh yeah, right, sure. Sometimes I feign I can't hear. Sometimes I'm not listening or paying attention. But certainly the events that Jesus, as he walked along the road with these two followers of his, they were walking home. You know how they looked? Do you know how to make a sad face? How about a face of fear? Because remember, Jesus, who did good, everyone loved him. In fact, Jesus, when he was put on a so-called trial, what we know occurred on Thursday evening and into Friday, that Pilate and Herod could find nothing wrong with him. Oh, why are you complaining about Jesus? Look at all the good that he did. And in fact, the Bible tells us that Herod and Pilate, who actually did not get along so well, in that moment when they were both examining Jesus, they, the scripture says, they became friends. Imagine that. Pilate and Herod, one's representing Rome, the overlord that everyone hated, and Herod, the local governor. These two were at odds with one another, fighting over money, taxes, politics, all sorts of things. They were probably wrestling with each other over fake news. They just couldn't possibly find a way forward. And the people were never served. They didn't pay attention to the people at all. It's as if they didn't even recognize the people. They become friends out of a conversation with Jesus. Hey, you're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with this guy. Oh, no kidding. You're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. Let's let him go. And so the crowd there, the religious leaders, who, that word religious is sort of in quotes, you know, it's the kind of religion like my religion or no religion. It's like what I believe or nothing. So I'm going to set up all these rules. I'm going to make you follow them. And if you want to get my favor, you're just going to have to follow every single rule I come up with. They were those kinds of leaders, not really leaders. But the religious leaders kept pressing the people, saying, no, we got to crucify this guy. We got to put him on a tree. We got to make him die for what he's done. Well, what has he done again? It doesn't matter. Let's just crucify him. And so that prevailed. And so that's what, when Jesus said, I don't know what's been going on. He was playing with these two, leaving on their way home to Emmaus, the town just about 7 miles from Jerusalem. He said, don't you know what's going on? No, tell me what's going on. And so they recounted to him this terrible story, in their opinion, that left them feeling afraid for their life. If they would kill Jesus, then all of his followers were at risk. Why say you follow Jesus? Well, I wouldn't want to get into that trouble. And now the pair, Pilate and Herod, are now friends. There's no stopping what they will do. And so these two are fearful, sad, disappointed. Maybe they saw Jesus heal the blind. Maybe they saw Jesus hang out in those parts of town where my mom says, don't go there. Just not safe. Don't go there. We don't hang out with those kinds of people. Well, Jesus went to those kinds of people. Jesus went to the people that when they woke up in the morning, they actually felt pretty lousy. These were the ones that we might use the English word invalids. These are the people nobody else wanted. Nobody wanted to pay attention to. They didn't have any value. They were invalid. Well, Jesus validated them. And so maybe these two, followers of Jesus, on their way home, sad and dejected and fearful. Maybe they saw Jesus reach out to the most forlorn and despised and neglected people in their town. And so they placed all of their hope in Jesus. You know, we know what it's like when we place our hope in something and it doesn't work. I went to a friend's house once and sat on a chair in their family room, and the chair crashed to the floor with me just behind it. Now, I'm not a small guy, but that chair was not safe. That totally was not the right thing to place my trust in. Totally wasn't a good idea. Of course, I apologized. It was a second cousin, you know, that was the host, and sorry about the chair. I got the screwdriver out, tried to put it back together, hoping that no one else would ever try that chair again. Well, the disciples, these two gentlemen from going back home to Emmaus, they put their trust in Jesus and they were disappointed. You've been disappointed before, right? Do you ever like plan something and it just didn't work out the way you thought? Have you ever placed your trust in someone and for a million other circumstances that might have caused it, it just didn't work out? Well, they knew what rejection was. They knew what fear was. They knew what disappointment was. And Jesus disappointed them big time. You know, you may have had conversations. Maybe you feel this way from time to time. You know, God's just disappointed me. Totally let me down. Maybe in our experience, things have happened to our life that we just thought, boy, if God is so cool, well, why couldn't he fix that? Or maybe he's met us halfway, and now we want him to go the whole way, and now somehow something's shifted, something's changed, and now our view of things is somehow God has turned his back. Well, this text this morning, this story from God's Word this morning says, Jesus never turns his back on us. And as disappointed as we can be, just give me a pen, write it down. Just here's 10 things I'm disappointed with in life. That you're going to, first of all, given more time, come up with another 10. Because the fear that we have, we have to come up with something to do with the fear in our life. Because what fear does is keep us from enjoying the life that God has given us. It's anticipating things that are going to go wrong and keeps us frozen. Easter is the story that we need to get up. Easter is the story that says there is hope. Easter is the story that no matter where we are on the road, that Jesus will find us. And wherever we are, God is there. And whatever you need God to do in your life, God could do that. And if we feel disappointed, that what the disciples on the way to Emmaus found out is that no matter their fear, Jesus was there. There's nothing that they could have said to him that Jesus might have said, oh, you think that? Oh, forget you. And Jesus just would have walked away. Never happened. Some of us feel like Jesus may have walked away from us. Well, I suspect that Jesus hasn't walked away, but circumstances change. Our perceptions change. Where we are shifts and changes. But I hope the Easter story means is that what was once dead is now alive. What was once despair is now hope. What was once disappointment is now delight. That once was once a struggle is now success. Because Jesus rose again from the dead. But those two disciples were dejected and fearful and disappointed because they didn't know that that was the fact. They heard the story that Jesus was alive. So where is it that they finally sort of had that switch turn on where they said, oh my gosh, God is here. Oh my gosh, God does love me. Well, it's when they were having a meal together. Some of us are in fear because we keep God at arm's length. We're afraid if he gets too close, he's not going to like us. Right? We think that if God gets too close, he'll see all those things in our life or maybe see all of our weaknesses or all of our struggles, that somehow God won't want to see any of that. So we keep, no, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, you just stay over there. That's great. I'll see you on Sunday. You bet. Catch you later. And so we sort of have this experience in our life where our spiritual life is totally separate from our regular life. But God didn't give us a spiritual life and a physical life. He gave us a life. And Jesus came to give us the abundant life. It's not just a great mental life. It's not just a great physical life. It's not just a great emotional life. It's a great life. Every single dimension of our life. When Jesus rose again from the dead means that every single part of your life now has hope. And we could change and we're not victims to our past. So those disciples knew that when they had a meal with Jesus, when they invited Jesus in, they realized that Jesus never disappoints. We feel disappointed. We feel angry. God can take it. We're disappointed with God. We should tell him. Because there's nothing that we can do that will chase him away. The message of Easter isn't just that Jesus is risen. Jesus is constantly risen every day. So though we're here today to celebrate the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead, we actually could meet here tomorrow. Because it's the same story. You want to come back next Sunday morning at 6:15? I'm all over that. Well, we could do that. That'd be great. I love having services on the beach. But you know what? We could be the same story because it's still true. So Easter is not a once-a-year thing when we bring out the Easter baskets and we get out the special clothes and have the special food. That's all awesome. But we only do that once a year. Why? Once a year's enough. Once a year's totally plenty. But the resurrection story, the story that he is now risen, he is always with us, that's the message that lingers every single day. So where do you need to see Jesus this week? Don't be afraid to invite him in. Have a meal with him. Talk to him. Tell him how you feel. Reach out and know that no matter where we are, God is there and loves you more than you could possibly know and cares about the things that you care about so that we can have hope in this life and in the life to come. Let's pray. Just pause for just a moment. Just consider, when you think about spiritual things, when you think about God, don't think about religion, don't think about church. Just think about the Creator that made you, God who is present right here and now, accessible to you. You don't need to say any fancy words. You don't need to dress a certain way. You don't need to know all the words to the Apostles' Creed. But Jesus is risen, alive, every day and forever. And he just wants to have a meal with you. He just wants you to invite him in. And even though you might be a little fearful, Jesus casts out fear. Even though you might be disappointed, Jesus gives hope. Even though you might be angry with God, God can take it. Tell him how you feel. In this moment, let's listen to the wind, the birds, and pause and know that Jesus is present. What do you need from Jesus in this moment?